Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the half-year results 2021 of the LM Group conference call. I am Alice, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Niccolò Bossi, investor relator. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first half 2021 LM Group conference call. Today with me, there are our CEO, Andrea Bertoli, and the CFO, Sergio Signoretti. For the next 30-40 minutes, we will guide you through the most relevant things that happened in the first 6 months of the year. And we will explain the results disclosed this morning via the ad hoc press release and the interim report published on our corporate website. We will start with a bit of context and our strengths, then we will have a look at our numbers. Before starting, please take note of the cautionary statement included in the presentation. But now I give the floor to Andrea, so please, Andrea, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here to discuss with you a bit the result of the first semester and how we see the industry, the travel industry, evolving after COVID. As you all know, COVID had a very strong impact on the travel industry and is bringing a lot of structural changes, not only in the travel industry, but in our society. Of course, the results we're reading seeing today are still very impacted by travel restriction and COVID, especially for the first 4 months in the year. But we saw a very good result for June and May, when the release of the travel restriction across Europe drove a sharp increase in demand. As you know, we are competing in a very large industry. Pre-COVID, the best estimate available were placing the travel industry in Europe at 300 billion euro. That's the addressable market for us. A bit less than 50% of this market is online. But the very interesting element that we are seeing today is that online transition and shifting from traditional channel to online has been really, really strong for travel, and not only for travel. Lockdown and all the restriction to people movement forced society to adopt a digital channel in a very, very broad manner across all the different sectors in the economy. Not only commerce has seen a huge spike, but also education, entertainment, public services, working. All the sector, all the human activities have been experiencing a very big increase in digital adoption. And this, for our company, I think is a very interesting element that will give us a lot of opportunity in the future. As you might see on also on the slide number six of the deck we shared for this call, we are competing in Europe. Europe is the second largest market. It's a bit smaller than US, but it's still one of the most interesting market globally for travel. And is very interesting for online player because digital adoption across Europe is still relatively lower than the level we see in US or also within Europe, also in the UK market. So the average is 49% of online penetration, but we see a lot of growth opportunity coming from this digital transition that was forced by COVID lockdown. And there are different studies that have been doing this during the recent month and customer interviews. All of these are telling us that the COVID has accelerated by several years what is digital penetration and online penetration. And even more interesting is that whenever consumer ask if when travel restriction and lockdown will end, if they will go back to the offline channel, so they will keep shopping online. Travel is the industry where the answer for consumer are more consistent and very strong, saying that they will keep online channel as their preferred channel for booking or searching and booking their next trip. On slide 8, we have collided some market data about what is the total market in Europe for travel. And we are highlighting with the pink line the fact that the total European travel market is not expected to recover a pre-COVID level before 2024, most likely, or the consensus is this one. But we are competing just in the online leisure travel. So that's a part of the total market. And it's the part of the market, the segment that is expected to recover quicker than the overall market. And the consensus is that leisure and online leisure especially will see pre-COVID level already in next year, 2022. We're also showing here on the slide the number 8, what was the CAGR of the market in the last 3 years before COVID. That was 2.6%, the overall growth. But our company, during these 3 years, experienced a 22% CAGR. So this is telling us that also pre-COVID, we were on a growth trajectory that was outperforming the overall market. And so we believe that also beyond 2022, we could envision a growth rate which is higher than the overall market. And this is possible because we are focused, as I said, on leisure travel. Everybody understands that COVID will have an important impact and a lasting impact on business travel, because companies and employees have learned to work also via Zoom or via video conferencing tool. So not all the business travel that was performed pre-COVID will be needed after COVID. So there will be a material impact, but we are focusing on leisure. And leisure, as we saw also in the last month of June, is the segment that will recover very quickly. And we expect actually a booming demand for leisure travel as soon as travel restriction will be lifted by the government and travel will be again easy for the people. We have a very important competitive advantage in terms of technology, because the way we offer and bring to market holiday packages for our customer is unique in the current market situation. All our offering is sourced in real time. So every time a customer runs a search on our properties, we go to the different supplier and provider of flights, of hotel, of ancillary services like transfer, and we put together in real time a package that can be relevant, affordable, and easy to use and to book for our customer. The technology behind is quite complex. We started developing it in 2011, so there is more than 10 years of investment in this technology. And we believe that this is an advantage compared to the approach that most of our competitors are using, that is building a cache in advance of packages. So it's called the pre-package approach. The reason is that with the real-time search, you can build a package which is really dynamic and really flexible. You don't need to define upfront which are the destination you want to offer, which are the departure date you want to offer, which is the length of stay of the packages you want to offer to our customer. We let the customer decide on which day, for which destination, for how many days they want to travel and to go on holiday, and we build a package really tailored to the individual request by each customer. We believe that this technology is unique in the European landscape, and we believe also that this advantage is proven by the fact that we have been signing during the last few years different partnership agreement with some big players in the OTA landscape, like Booking.com or Holiday Pirates, that are using our technology, and Kiwi, that are using our dynamic holiday package preparatory technology. But we have also now some hotel chains that are adopting the same technology and the same approach. So we've been and we are live as of today with four very important hotel chain. They are all Spanish because they are very focused on leisure travel and attracting customers from all over Europe to Spanish destinations. So we're working with the Melia, that is globally one of the most important hotel chain in leisure travel. Palladium and Playa Sol, that are two leading hotel chains in Ibiza. And we are in discussion also with some other new players in this scheme. So we really think that our technology is unique, and the fact that different players, important players in the industry, have adopted it is a proof of the advantage that we have in this area. The other advantage that I want to pinpoint is the fact that we are really well diversified across Europe. On the slide number 10, you have a view of what is our mix of revenues by region, by origin. As you see, back in 2012, so before the acquisition of lastminute.com, the group was very focused on Southern Europe, with Italy representing more than 50% of the business, and Spain and other markets having a smaller part. In first half 2020, and similar was in 2019, so before COVID, we had the UK being the first market, because of the thanks to the acquisition of lastminute.com. And then we had a very balanced mix across the different geography. We believe that this geographical reach gives us an advantage in the current market condition, because we are able to capture the demand in the different markets when the demand is there. So we saw in the first half of 2021, UK had a very cautious approach, the UK government had a very cautious approach to travel because of the concern regarding COVID. So the share of the UK market has dropped from 24 to less than 20. But this drop was compensated by the growth we experienced in the German market, where we were able to capture a lot of the demand that was possible thanks to the decision of the German government to allow travel to Mallorca and the most important beach destination for the German market over the Eastern period and now in the summer. So the the footprint across all the geography. It's giving us economy of scale because the technology that we're developing is leveraged across multiple markets, so we can address a much bigger demand. And it gives us also resilience because we are not dependent on a single market dynamics. Last but not least, consider that we are competing in the holiday package segment, or we are very focused on the holiday package segment. And this is a highly regulated market where there are very important requirements, regulation that are protecting consumer. Travel Package Directive is the most important law across Europe for this respect. And to operate in these segments, you need a license, which is different by market in most of the case. And you need the bonding and guarantee that the consumer will not lose their money in case of a disruption of their travel. And we are the only one European OTA that is actually, as of today, fully bonded and licensed in all the main markets in Europe. And we open also in the last month all the minor markets. So we can say that we are now really in a position to address the whole European market for online leisure travel. That said, I would leave the word to Sergio, our CFO, who will present our results and give you also some highlights of the economic and financial of the group.
Thank you very much, Andrea. Good morning to all the audience and welcome to our first semester investor call. So I would start from page 12, just as a premise. As you know, up to now, we have tended to represent the key operational performance of the company with the concept of business EBITDA, which was actually which is the combination of the EBITDA generated from the three business units, the online travel agents, the meta search business and the media business. But in order to better represent and better show what is the overall business performance, we are now introducing the concept of adjusted EBITDA with a couple of major differences, which is highlighted into these slides. And one is related to the revenues and margins generated from the bookings that our clients do using the vouchers that we have issued in order to face the pandemic. We will have a focus on the vouchers campaign later on. Here, what we are going to do and have started to do from the first half figures is include these figures into the adjusted EBITDA. This counts for approximately 3.7 million euro higher margins in first half 2021. In parallel, we are now including into the adjusted EBITDA part of the cost of the organizational machine of the company, which is mostly related to those staff functions which are not directly attributable to the three business units, like a piece of the legal department, like a piece of finance, and so on. And also the EBITDA generated by the cruises business, which is the only, let me say, ventures where we have the majority, which is now included into the adjusted EBITDA. Net, we are talking about 2.7 million euro costs included into into the first half 2021. So the combination of the two items is a let me say, plus one versus the former business EBITDA concept. Just another couple of comments. So all the effects arising from the COVID-19 disruptions, so the cost of the cancellations that we have experienced, and up to a lesser extent versus last year we are still experiencing, and also the eventual misredemption generated from the vouchers that we have issued, are consistently monitored below the adjusted EBITDA and obviously within the reported EBITDA according to the international accounting standards. One last comment, all the figures that you will see from now on compared versus 2020 have been prepared restating the 2020 according to the accounting principles that we have changed at the end of 2020 and were reflected into the full year 2020 financial figures, especially regarding the cancellations and voucher treatment. You will find in the backup of the presentation and also in the interim report a table which is explaining in detail where the restatements is affecting the figures, which are fully comparable. So going to page 13, the message on page 13 is that we start, as Andrea was saying before, to see from Q2 a significant strong recovery of the business, which shows that then the company, when the demand is back, is able to recover it, is able to exploit it in order to grow again. This is very evident versus Q2 2020 and versus also Q1 2021. And if we start from the left, talking about the gross travel values at the end of first half has been 461 million euro versus 686 in first half 2020. Remember, first half 2020 was affected by two record months. So January and February 2020, so you see it very clearly in the Q1 comparison, quarter-on-quarter comparison. For the first quarter, we are at a minus 79%. January and February here were last year at a plus 20% versus the year before. But from the second quarter, there is a very significant recovery, as you see. So we are 3.5 times higher than what we were in Q2 2020. A similar trend is consistently represented at revenues level. First half revenues are 50 million versus 83 last year, so at a minus 39%. I would say here the trend in terms of quarter-on-quarter comparison is similar to the one commented before. I would like just to add that the 6 percentage points of higher gap versus last year are mostly due to the fact that, of course, the flight business has been affected by the fact that it's very difficult to fly long haul. So basically everything we sell is regional, and so there is a lower marginality of versus the revenue per booking which was last year also in the first 2 months affected by a certain long haul percentage. But if we go to gross profit level, we see that in the first half we close at 24 million euro versus 33 last year, so at a minus 28%. And so we recover 10 percentage points versus the gap in revenues. And what is very interesting is the comparison in terms of gross profit incidence, gross profit percentage on revenues, which this year is 47% versus 40% last year. Mm-hmm. Here we have the results of, I would say, a better, more efficient pricing strategy, and also of the mix of sales, which is more and more affected by the growth of holiday packages. Holiday packages have recovered very significantly, especially, I would say, in Germany and France, as Andrea was saying, starting from the end of April, starting from the beginning of May. And, of course, this is contributing positively to our profitability and is affecting positively our marginality, as is shown in these slides. So
if I may add, I think it's important to highlight that we are now generating more than 70% of our gross profit from non-flight services. So
yeah.
We started 5 years ago focusing a lot on the non-flight segment, and the acquisition of lastminute.com was strategically aimed at rebalancing our portfolio of sales, focusing more on hotels and holiday packages. The acquisition of BankDA in Germany was focused on increasing our share of tour operator packages in the German market, which is the largest market in Europe for travel. So all this initiative, acquisition, but also the focus in the development of our platform and the focus in our commercial activity have really rebalanced the mix of sales. Back in 2014, 90% of the contribution was coming from flight. Today is less than 30% the contribution from the non-flight segment, which, as you know, is a very low margin, high competitive segment of the travel industry.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. So if we go below gross profit, so page 14, starting from the fixed cost, here we see quite evidently what is the result of the cost reduction program that we already commented a number of times and that was launched during the initial phase of the pandemic. So we are talking about 22 million versus 33 in first half last year, so approximately 10.5 million euro less, 32% less. Of course, this includes also the government subsidies that we receive for the various furlough schemes in the various markets where we operate, which are still active in most of the countries. Of course, the comparison versus first quarter 2020 is particularly impacted by that, because in Q1 2020, the pandemic raised in May, as you may remember. We will detail more the 10 million euro in a subsequent slide, but this is very important because it completely offset the lower gross profit versus last year, which again was due to the very good result in January and February pre-pandemic. So that if you turn to adjust the BDA, the figure is that we are now finally back to positive in the first semester, 1.5 million. Versus minus 1.7 last year. And what is even more important is the second quarter figure. So in the second quarter figure, as you see, we are at plus 7 versus minus 6 last year and versus minus 5.5 in Q1 2021. So we are back to a positive EBITDA generation in Q2. And as we will see later on, we are back to profitability at bottom line level from the month of June. In terms of net result, we are closing first semester at approximately minus 18, a loss of 17.7 million euro. Versus a restated number of 2020 of minus 30. So we are 12 million better versus comparable figures of the first half 2020. Out of the 18 million, 13 are coming from first quarter. Only 5 are coming from the second quarter, which again, as I will show you later on, includes a positive June bottom line. In the slide 15, we try to clarify where the major differences versus last year restated of 30 million loss comes out. So basically, as you saw before, there is an impact of 10 million euro of lower gross profit generated by January and February last year, which is more than compensated by the cost reduction programs and on the fixed cost lower base of 10.5 million euro. Then, as you may remember, at the end of last year, we have sold the majority of Destination Italia, a ventures that we were having, we are still having with Banca Intesa, where now we are a minority shareholder. This was impacting last year figures and is not impacting anymore this year figure for an amount of 2 million euro. And then the major other item is the much lower impact of cancellations, which is included into the extraordinary items for 8 million euro. As you may remember, last year we commented a number of times we had a huge impact, more than 800,000 cancellations received within the 2020, which then affected most of the loss of last year. So if you remember, we lost 62 million out of that, half of the loss was related to the cancellation impact. In first semester, We have a gap versus last year of 8 million, which is significantly reducing and improving the overall figures. If we go to page 16, we comment a bit more where the 10.5 million euro of lower cost base comes from. So if, and here we also see what is the magnitude of the cost reduction program versus pre-COVID. So we are talking about a 46% lower fixed cost base versus 2019. And what is interesting is isolate what is the part related to the, let me say, real cost reductions actions that we have implemented, which is the one represented with the blue color, the lighter and the darker. So if you look, for example, at the overall savings, we are talking about 7.5 million lower cost base versus 2020 and 10 million euro lower cost base versus 2019. So we are talking about an annualized saving of approximately 20 million, which is consistent with what we already presented in the last investor call in March versus the pre-COVID situation. Both on the HR cost, we are approximately 200 people less versus what was the headcount pre-COVID, and on the operating expenses side. On the operating expenses, we have approximately reduced of 50% the overall square meters available in the various offices, in the various facilities where we operate. We have adopted the full smart working model that now will evolve towards an hybrid smart working model, but we don't need anymore all the room, all the desks, facilities and positions that we were having before. We have done a number of actions also on the IT side, so that we closed at 8 million euro versus 14, which was the pre-COVID, figure. On top, we have the government subsidies, which is represented in the pink part of the slide. We are talking about 10 million euro in first semester 2021 versus 7 in first semester 2020, which of course were not counting the first quarter. So the initial subsidies were obtained from the end of March when we applied for it, starting from Switzerland. So this gives you the perspective of what are the actions, what is the magnitude of the efficiencies that we have generated in the operational machines that we will go for, we will keep on having going forward. So it's not something that except the government subsidies, which of course sooner or later will end depending on the level of recovery of the market. All the other part is something that part of that, I would say, Andrea, approximately half, no, of the 20 million. So at least 10 million will be something that we will keep having going forward. One more comment about June only. So before, Andrea was already talking about the level of recovery that we had. This is shown at page 17. So this is very, very important. I mean, here we are still at a minus 39% versus pre-COVID in terms of revenues. But if you look at the right picture, at the right end, we are in line in terms of bottom line results. So, I mean, this is quite impressive. So 4 million euro generated in the single month of June. And the fact that we go from a minus 39 to basically being in line is due on one side to the fact that we have a higher gross profit percentage generated from the mix of holiday packages, which have restarted and very, very significantly, as I was saying before, from the end of April. As Andrea was saying, that represents approximately three quarter of the profitability of the company in terms of contribution margin today, so that the gross profit on the percentage points is 49% versus 42 pre-COVID. Then there is the impact of the cost reduction program, which is additional 20 percentage points from gross profit to adjusted EBITDA level. So in terms of profitability, here we are at 4.9 million in the single month of June versus 5.5 of June 2019, which corresponds to a 26% EBITDA margin versus 18. And then we have also the impact of lower cancellations that we already mentioned, and also lower depreciations due to the working hour reductions, which affected our capitalizations in the development teams in 2020, which brings the net result absolutely in line with June of pre-COVID. I think it's very, very relevant to show the comparison now versus what was the pre-COVID picture. One comment about the voucher campaign. As you remember, page 18, we said a number of times last year we implemented a massive cash protection program, which was not only getting money from getting financings, in some cases guaranteed from the states, but was also, and probably even more importantly, related to this voucher campaign. So we have been very bold, very aggressive in launching the so-called Everyone Loves Voucher campaign last year in order to manage our customer base, in order to dilute the refunds in terms of cash impact, because of course customers use voucher when they can travel. And the generation has not been, and the effect has been not just a positive impact on cash, but also a very significant impact in terms of upsell. So today, for a face value of 100 euro, the customer spends 150 on average per each vouchers distributed. So there is an upsell effect, which is starting to be evident in our P&L. And which is also included into the revenues and margin rebooking figures that I was commenting at the beginning. So out of 100% voucher issued last year, 40% has been already utilized, converted up to the end of June. So 60% is still outstanding, but based on what is the pattern of utilization, which is the fact that between 7 and 10% of the monthly gross travel value is paid through vouchers, we expect approximately 95% of the outstanding vouchers to be fully utilized within the end of this year. And again, there is a positive P&L effect, which is the combination of the incremental margin generated from the rebookings and from also a part of revenue generated from the missed redemption when the voucher expires and the customer doesn't use it at the end. In terms of cash, page 19 represents gross and net cash, net of the loans, of the financings that we have taken in the last 18 months. So starting from the pre-COVID situation. As you see, we are at a, I would say, record level, over 150 million, 154 million euro as of the end of the semester, which corresponds to approximately 58 million euro in terms of net financial position, in terms of net cash. If you compare it to the figures of June last year, which is also correct in terms of comparing the high seasonality period, we are higher, 20 million. So we are comparing towards 133 million in terms of net financial position last year. This is significantly higher than what we were having in the first quarter end, which was 120 in terms of gross cash and 11 million euro in terms of net financial position. Here, of course, it's very evident the impact of the recovery from April onwards. As you know, the more the business grows, the more cash we generate. We have a structural advance of cash due to the fact that we cash in from our customers at T plus one, T plus two versus when the booking is made, and we pay our suppliers with deferred payment terms depending on the various type of suppliers, flights and hotels. Of course, from now on, from, I would say, July onwards, there will be a progressive decline of cash, which is absolutely normal. based on seasonality. So we should expect a curve in the second semester, which should be similar to the one that we had in the second semester of 2020. But we start from a higher start point, and this level of cash, of course, keeps us, put us in a very, very comfortable position, also considering potential, which I would say are much less likely than before, but potential further impacts of eventual new variants arising on top of the Delta one, which we cannot exclude until when, you know, the planet population, because of course it's not only Europe, will be more and more vaccinated. One last comment on page 20. Page 20 shows what is the growth of the cash versus first quarter 2021. So 79 million euro, almost 80 million euro is the cash impact of the recovery, which is huge. Quarter on quarter. In the quarter, we have refunded net to banks 12 million euro. We have refunded net cash to customers 7 million. This is net also of the money that we have recovered from our suppliers. Our customers have utilized vouchers for approximately 21 million euro. This is included into the figure, into the percentage figure of the utilization and conversion that I was commenting before. So that we arrive to more than 150 as of the end of the first half, which again, page 21 corresponds to 58 million euro in terms of net cash, net of the 86 million euro loans that we have in place with our key banks, and which have, as we said a number of times, a medium-term repayment terms. So, you know, also in terms of schedule of repayment, you know, they are absolutely, you know, fractioned over the next 3 to 5 years. This 58 million euro net cash is double than what we were having at the end of 2020, is higher than what we were having, almost double than what we were having June last year, as I saw, as we commented before, and is approximately 5 times higher than what we were having at the end of the first quarter. So I think I am done. So thank you very much. And we are open, as always, for questions.
The first question comes from the line of Gianmarco Bonacino with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. A couple of questions for me. The first one on the vouchers, if you can confirm the amount. Not clear, I read on the report, seems it's like 76 million euro at the end of the first semester, and which is the level you expect to reach by the end of the year in terms of usage. Also, you mentioned you expect a decrease in the net cash by the end of the year. If you can give us an estimate of what you expect for net cash for the end of the year. The last question I have is on the slide on page 17, where you showed the solid performance for the month of June. I guess this includes, as you mentioned, government subsidies. So it would be fair to assume that net of government subsidies, basically your performance is broadly in line with that of the volume. So basically down about 30% year over year. And also on these government subsidies, what visibility you have for the second half of the year. Thank you.
Yes, Marco, we'll try, I'll try to start from that, and then we can integrate Andrea. So you were asking about vouchers. So we represented it in percentage terms. So the outstanding vouchers as of the end of the first semester are 80 million euro out of the 136, which, as you remember, because we already showed it in the last investor calls, was the amount overall issued. So out of the 80 million euro outstanding, we expect basically 90% to be converted, redeemed, or anyway expire, considering the expiration dates, within the end of the year. This is the first. This is the first point. Now, regarding cash, in terms of gross cash, we will have a seasonal absorption in the second semester, which should bring us anyway in a position of at least 100 million euro, 100 to 110, as of the end of the year, with a consequent reduction of the net cash, considering that most of the repayments will be due from 2022 onwards. In terms of June month, we have highlighted in the box, which is related to the EBITDA margin, so the 26%, the fact that this is of course including government subsidies. So if you exclude the government subsidies from the EBITDA of June, we would be, as it is written in the note, at a 19% EBITDA margin versus the 17.9 of June 2019. So we would be anyway higher than that.
Yeah, but Sergio, if I may comment, excluding the working hour reduction subsidy, I think it's not a fair comparison, because remember, these are subsidies that we receive to pay our employee because they are not working. Thanks to the subsidy, we decided not to cut more than what we did our workforce, and to keep more people employed than we need for the current level of business. And these people are on average, let's say, working 50% of their normal working hours in the current month. So if we would not have had the government subsidy, we would have had to fire more people, because we don't need all the people that we have currently in the company to run this level of business that is still 40% lower than what it was in pre-COVID. So, of course, it's something that is not there to stay. They are confirmed until the end of September, and we will be most likely extended further if the business does not recover to the full level that we had before COVID. But the economical impact, I think it's similar to what would have been a workforce reduction program that we would have had to put in place in case of no subsidy from the government. This is especially true for economies where the state has been really supporting companies, so like in France, in Switzerland, in Germany, but also the UK market. For the first time ever, they introduced a furlough scheme, because all the governments were aware that the shock on demand should not translate on an equal shock on the labor market. So they put in place a number of initiatives to make sure that employees could retain their job, and companies didn't have to fire more people than what was manageable for the society, for the economy in general.
Very clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andy Schneider with Z Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. I have a few questions. First, can you talk about the current environment and what your assessment is of the second half of the year for the market as a whole? I know everything is quite fluid, but your view on travel in Europe would be certainly interesting to hear.
So, as you said, the market is very fluid. I can say that July closed a bit lower than June, but substantially on similar level. August has started higher. The swing we're seeing are very much related with any news that goes on newspaper and on television. Whenever a government goes out with statements that encourage people not to travel, or they put actual concrete action to reduce travel, we see softer demand. The moment that governments or news about the pandemic are positive, we see an increase of demand. So I think we expect a positive Q3, because we see July that has been a bit lower than June, but still positive. August is currently strong, and September we expect a good month because it's, let's say, the end of the summer season, and we expect some market like the UK market that can have a strong September. Then the bigger question mark for everybody in the industry is what will be Q4. As of today, we are not in a position to make any judgment or giving any guidance of what Q4 could look like. I am personally optimistic because all the last data we're seeing, both in terms of vaccination rollout throughout Europe, which keeps running very strongly, and data that we are receiving from some markets and some countries about the Delta variant's impact and progress. You might have read that in India, which is a huge country with a huge population, the Delta spike is over. They went from 400,000 new COVID cases per day to 40,000 currently, with a very low vaccination rate in the population. They're below 5%. So it looks like even without vaccination, the COVID is somehow becoming endemic and not having such a big impact on population. But this can change, and can change also tomorrow. So I'm optimistic, but I'm not in the position to give any guidance about Q4, because it's still very difficult to see what will happen after summer.
Thanks, that was helpful. On your gross profit margin, which climbed to 47% in H1, you said it's due to more packages which have a higher GP. Is that the only effect, or is there an effect in it that hotels and other partners are offering you more generous terms and rates because they are desperately in need for you to fill their hotels to bring some traffic and probably give you more cash for that?
No, we are passing to the consumer all the great offers that are coming from our supplier. Because it's true that hotelier and airlines are currently very aggressive. We are working a lot with our partner to bring to market a very special offer, last minute, a flash sale. We are very active in this segment because it's in the DNA of the brand to find the best deal for our customer. I would say that all the benefit that is given to us from the supplier is passed to the consumers. The increased gross profit margin is mainly driven by two elements. One is that, as I said, the flight segment contribution is now less than 30% of the total contribution. So progressively, we are generating more and more sales from high margin product and less sales from low margin services. And this is, of course, improving the average, the weighted average gross profit margin. And we are also seeing a better marketing efficiency at the moment. We are still not pushing really strong on the marketing spending. because the situation is still, as we just commented, is still very fluid, and we don't think it's still the right moment to push full throttle the marketing spending. So the marketing spending on revenues is a few points lower than what it was before COVID and what it was also last year. And this is because we have been able to retain all the brand equity and the all the direct no-pay traffic is still very solid. For our company, it represents more than 40% of total sales that are coming from no-pay channel. And relatively, we are spending a bit less on the paid channel, so like on SEM or affiliation or other channel where we buy the traffic.
Okay, thank you. And third question would be about the competitive environment. What can you tell us? How do you perform versus your most important competitors now in H1? And what are the key developments you're seeing in the sector, like changes in the strategy at competitors like eDreams with its Prime subscription or other things? What can tell us about that?
We are still waiting to see their reports when they will be published, so we don't have any insight on their on the actual performance of our competitors in this moment. What we've been told from our partners, from our suppliers, is that we are performing better than the average. That doesn't mean that there is no one better than us in the market, but on average, airlines and hotel providers are telling us that we've been able to ride the May and June recover better than most of our competitors. In terms of strategy, we have done a few years ago a clear decision that was well communicated to the market to focus on a dynamic holiday packages where we have a proprietary technology that we believe is a clear competitive advantage. And we believe that the segment of holiday packages is a huge market in Europe. Not in US, where the concept of holiday package is not developed really, but in Europe is a huge market where we see some fundamental changes. So the shift from offline to online distribution, the flexibility that the dynamic holiday package can bring compared to the traditional offering of a tour operator. The fact that traditional tour operators are very heavy on assets, they own airplanes, they own their own airplanes, they own or they rent hotel properties, they have a very heavy balance sheet. We are very light, we don't own assets, we just distribute and put together what is available at the moment in the market at the best rate for the best destination for each single customer. So we think that this is a very attractive segment where we have a competitive advantage and where the dynamic of the sector are favorable for a pure online player like ourselves. Other competitors are still focusing more on the flight segment, like eDreams, as you know, where they are, according to the news, they are having some good results with their subscription program. I think it's a very interesting concept that we are studying, but it's a different strategy and it's a different situation. If we look at more our competitors in the dynamic holiday package segment, we see some very strong competitor in the UK market. You might know On the Beach, which is a public company. You might know Love Holidays, which is a private company owned by private equity. So there are very strong and very good players. But the difference is that they are focused just on one market. They don't have a European reach. And in the current market condition, this single market focus can be a disadvantage, while in normal condition, of course, it can drive better results because you don't need to manage the complexity of being active in many different legislation and consumer segments as we do. Longer term, we believe that building a leadership position in the European market, which is a lot bigger than just one single market, is a winning decision that we are making.
Okay, thank you. And last quick question, the 10.6 million in extraordinary items, what is that exactly? Can you split that up for us?
Yes, I try to respond to this. To answer to this, there are more than 8 million, which is related to the long tail of COVID cancellations. So basically, 2 million euro, approximately 2 million, is the impact of the new cancellations that we have received in 2021. Again, remember, last year it was more than 30. Million euro on the all 2020. 6 million euro is the long tail of last year cancellations in terms of cost that we are taking when we cannot recover the money that we have refunded already to customers, either because we are principal in organizing packages, they have canceled the packages, and so we, as you know, need to refund them regardless of the fact that we have recovered the money from the suppliers, or when we have received chargeback from our clients, final customers, that we cannot recover from suppliers. So I would say 8 million out of 10 is the impact of long tail of cancellations.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Baptiste de Lotville with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, gentlemen. I have a few questions. First question is about the bookings. Is it possible that you give the bookings or the gross travel value for the month of June so I can compare with 2019? That's my first question. Second question is about the B2B business, the white label business. Can you just develop on the proportion of this business compared to the global business in terms of mix, revenue mix, and also specify the business model, the profit sharing model, and etc. The third question is about can you give some example of upselling? Because you talk about the upsell of thanks to vouchers. So can you elaborate on that? What kind of upselling you managed to do? And the last question is actually you mentioned in the last questions from the other person, the other analyst, you mentioned one company on top of on the beach, and I didn't write the name. So can you repeat it, please? Thank you very much.
So I started from the last one that is easy, is Love Holidays. It's a private company, but thank it's you. One of the biggest player in the, let's say, dynamic holiday package market in UK. In UK, the two biggest operators are more traditional. So you have TUI, that is the European leader in package holiday, the German company that is struggling to survive the COVID, and they are receiving quite heavy help from the German government to cruise the situation. The second one is Jet2, that is is an airline that has developed a very big holiday package business, and then you have Virgin Holidays, that is also a part of an airline. But let's say if you take out the traditional player, the two largest competitors in the UK market are On the Beach, which is a public company, and Love Holiday, which is a private company, and that are a very good player in only in the UK market. Regarding booking and GTV for the month of June, I think in the document we shared, there is the GTV, which is 35% lower than what it was in June 2020. No, 2019, sorry, so compared to pre-COVID. Bookings are 31% lower than pre-COVID level, so similar to what we saw in the semester. In terms of a lower revenue per booking, mainly driven from the flight business, where we don't, compare to pre-COVID, we're not selling long haul, and most of what is booked in the market is domestic or regional flights, so within Europe where you can travel. Regarding the white label segment, It's a channel that has been growing a lot in the last year. This is because we added a new partner to the channel, and we added also with the existing partner, we opened new market. So in the last year, we opened some minor market like Austria and Switzerland, the Benelux, Sweden. So we are extending the coverage also the geographical coverage, so the growth that we are seeing on the white label channel is higher than the growth we are seeing on our direct channel and the paid channel, but this is mainly driven by opening of new market and not within the same market. June results were very positive with Booking.com. They were one of the main sponsors of the Euro Cup 2020, and we saw that this has given them a good lift in traffic and reservation done also on our partnership. The model is a revenue share model, where we share the gross margin on the package with the percentage that is in line with what we pay on other paid channels.
The next question comes from the line of Sarah Johnson with Stone Arch. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I had one question. If you could let us know, what is the amount of cash on your balance sheet that is not held against a voucher or a booking? Your own cash. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm not sure if we got well the question. Can you repeat, please?
Sure. What amount of cash on your balance sheet is not held against a liability, such as a voucher or a booking? And to just use an example, Jet2 reports what they call their own cash, cash that is not held against customer liabilities. What is your amount of cash on the balance sheet?
I mean, the 153 million of cash, gross cash, is what is resident on our bank accounts. I don't know. I'll try to answer in this way. The liability for the vouchers outstanding is 80 million euro, as I mentioned, and 95% of that is going to be utilized, at least based on the pattern of utilization of the first semester, within the end of 2021.
Right. And then...
If I may, I think the difference is that Jet2 owns the airplane, and so when they take the booking, they don't need to buy the ticket from the flight. We are a travel agent or a virtual tour operator, as somebody also called our model. So the The moment that we take a reservation or a booking from a customer, we buy within a few days. So it's the average settlement time is 15 days for the flight. We pay the ticket. So we normally don't measure this metrics because it's not a significant amount of and what it's included in the working capital of the company.
I see. So it's of that 150 million plus cash, I can subtract out 80 million. That's a voucher, and you would say the rest of that cash is your cash.
No, there is a part that is customer money, if you want, that will be used to pay the service. So within 10 days from the booking date, on average, we would pay and settle the flight ticket that the customer bought. And normally the hotel is paid the check-in date, unless there are different agreements with the hotel supplier.
Agreed. And so if I take the 80 million for the vouchers, and then the amounts that that people booked, they've given you the cash, but you haven't dispersed the cash that goes to the vendor on the other end. What is now your cash? Truly your cash.
Go back for a second to the vouchers. I mean, vouchers are against future cash. So should not deduct the 80 million from the cash that we have in hands, because outstanding vouchers are going to be utilized versus future gross travel value.
Yes.
Okay. So and, that's so technically, I mean, we should not deduct it from the cash that we have obtained from past bookings and past gross travel value. Okay, so different thing is about what Andrea was saying. So out of 150 million euro cash, there is a portion that is still needs to be paid to suppliers for the fulfillment of the Remi packages, which is in the region of 15 to 20 million euro.
Perfect. That's exactly what I was trying to find out, and that's very helpful. And Jet2, they give you a number that amounts to this, and I feel it would be helpful for clarification's sake for new investors if you provided that number as well, because otherwise we're left trying to guess it, and I think it's just a very important number, especially right now.
Okay.
When we're
I think it's a very useful feedback you're giving us. We never did it before because, as I said, we don't own the asset, and we pay most of the service at booking date. All the flights are paid at booking date, so we don't have the same kind of cash piling up as some other player have. But we do have a negative working capital. It was highlighted by Serge in the presentation. And of course, when we sell, we cash in at T plus one or T plus two. In some cases, we have a deferred payment so that the customer can pay a deposit and pays the balance just before travel. So it's not an easy calculation, but I see your point.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful. And great job managing this business through pandemic. Let's hope that travel keeps nosing up from here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time. Back to you for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much for being connected to this call that lasted more than 1 hour. We got a lot of interest from investors and analysts. So thank you very much, and we'll get in touch again for news from update.
Nick, if I may, just please. A final remark from my side. I think we are all aware that COVID is not over yet, but I think the key message that we want to convey is that we we are in a much stronger situation now than 1 year ago. And the fact that the June results for us are very, very relevant because they are a clear evidence that as soon as the demand bounce back, and it will bounce back because there are no question that the demand will come back as soon as travel restrictions are lifted. Our company has a business model that is very agile and very resilient and can immediately capture demand in all the different markets in Europe where we operate. So this gives us a good confidence that we can have a great results when COVID is over, and we have all the resources to manage also a scenario of a long COVID impacting also the next winter season that is still unclear what could be the outlook at the moment. So thank you very much, and talk to you in the next investor call in, I believe it's in
March next year. March next year. Commenting the full year 2021. Yeah. Thank you very much also on my side, and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.